Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It is Monday, August 15th, 2022. Those of you listening live, you're doing so through most likely Blog Talk Radio. I think that's the only way you can. Thank you so much. Love hearing from you. Some of you are listening dialed in. Some of you are listening mostly through a link, and we welcome you live. But more and more of you are listening live via the various services and on a downloaded basis. And I am happy to report that we have the Apple Podcast app back up and updating. So all of you that love Apple, as I do, and listen to us that way, you'll get caught up on all the podcasts. So we're on something like 30-some platforms right now, and they're all being updated. So I am thrilled about that. Again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we're so grateful to have you as our listener. Thank you. Appreciate you. And thank you for sharing it with your associates and people in the industry. That's how we've grown. It's word of mouth. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. So good news, Apple Podcasts are updated. That's good. Android, Google Play is updated. All of them are updated. And we've got an exciting podcast today. We're adding two new segments, two new regulars to the list. We've got David Kittle, co-founder of TMC, the Mortgage Collaborative, who is a sponsor of ours, is joining us to talk about originations. He'll be giving an origination report. Hear about that in just a minute. And then we have Mark Helm joining us, who is both David and Mark are legends in the industry. Mark Helm, if you Googled the servicing expert in mortgage loan origination or mortgage loan servicing, it would be Mark Helm. He served in the ran the committee for servicing at the MBA for 2 years. He ran Washington Mutual's largest servicing portfolio a lot. And we're going to be featuring Mark. We're doing a number of interviews, as we are with Mr. Kittle, doing that and letting our audience get to know them as well. But we're thrilled to have them join as regulars. You'll hear them be a part of this each and every week. And this is at the suggestion of Jack Nunnery. You know, I think we got things figured out. And Jack goes, you know, one major mission is we're missing two parts of this industry that are huge and to draw in more listeners. So he suggested that. Dang, didn't know why I hadn't thought of that myself. But we're thrilled. I'd be now covering loan originations by Mr. Kittle and loan servicing, the other end of the business, with Mark Helm, and we'll be doing that in this podcast starting this week. So good to have you here. Let's give a shout out to our sponsors. Finastra Fusion Home and Mortgage Bot Solution does a great job of driving a fully integrated approach to mortgage lending that simplifies the borrowing experience and streamlines the process. They just renewed their advertising contract with us. We're thrilled to have them with us. And we had Mike Hendrick on. On July 25th, good podcast. Also, we have Form Free. So grateful to have them. They have their patented auto check and passport products that opens the doors to more inclusive credit decisioning by revealing each customer's true ability to pay the ATP. So you got to check this out, what Form Free is doing, what Brent and the team are doing there. And a big shout out to Christy Moss. What an amazing team they have there. We love Christy. She was on June 20th. Go listen to that podcast. Also, Lender Toolkit, Brett Emler and Mike Wetbeck were on. Michael is with Blueprint. Great interview on July 11th. Then also SnapDocs. Get the tools and support you need to implement the e-mortgage technology effectively with SnapDocs e-mortgage quick start program. Check it out. Great company, great tools, as well as Total Expert. They turn customers' insights into actionable information, I guess the best way to say it, to increase loyalty and drive growth for banks, lenders, independent mortgage bankers, IMBs, credit unions, and other financial services. They do a great job. Check out the interview we did with Josh Lear on May 19th. Total Expert, they're best in class when it comes to the CRMs out there. We're so glad to have them. And then Simple Nexus. I got to tell you, the growth that is going on at Simple Nexus is just over the top. More and more people are saying, I need to move from that other company, the one that starts with B, and move over to Simple Nexus because their fees are one half of what the cost is to be on that other company, that on other one that starts with B. Just let you guys figure it out. And so check out Simple Nexus. If you're not already with them, you need to get a demonstration of all that they can do for it. It's pretty exciting. Also, we have the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Success Kit, Knowledge Cube, Mobility MMI, Modex, Mortgage Advisory Tools, and DW Consulting. And joining the group, I'm so excited that Candor is going to be our newest sponsor. They're starting in October this inked that deal this last week. So excited about that. Then a special thank you goes out to all of the regulars on here. Adam DeSanctis of the NBA, Les Parker, Matt Graham, David Kittle, new to the show, Alice Allen, Mark Helm, also new to the show. And then Jack Nunnery is sitting in the dental chair right now having a tooth repaired. We go, come on, Mark, dial in with your cell phone. We'd love to hear you talk with a rubber dam in your mouth and on some laughing gas or something else. Anyway, good stuff. Let's get started with the MBA Mortgage Minute and with Adam DeSanctis. Here you go.
Hi, I'm Adam DeSanctis. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last Friday, the full U.S. House of Representatives passed the U.S. Senate's amended substitute to H.R. 5376, now known as the Inflation Reduction Act. The measure was then sent to President Joe Biden's desk for his signature to become law. The Inflation Reduction Act incorporates MBA-supported language that preserves the current deferred timing of taxation on income derived from both residential and multifamily mortgage servicing rights through an exclusion from a newly instituted 15% corporate minimum book tax. Importantly, the law does not include a host of harmful revenue raisers proposed in earlier versions that would have been detrimental to member companies in real estate finance. MBA thanks members from the broad spectrum of capital sources, business models, and segments of the real estate finance industry who remain deeply engaged during this process to help with our association's tax policy and advocacy efforts. Now that's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Good job, Adam. We're grateful for our partnership with the MBA, and I'm going to ask every one of our listeners, if you have not already done so, download the Mortgage Action Alliance app. It is essential that your voice be heard on the Hill, and you can do it so easily with this app. I just recommend that each of you go out there. It's MAA, Mortgage Action Alliance app. Download it in your favorite, you know, whether it be the App Store or the whatever it is, whatever smartphone you're using, download it, get this app, and then get signed up. You do not have to be a member of the MBA to use this app, but you should be a member of the MBA. Come on. We all need them, and they're doing a great job representing our industry. Adam, thank you so much for that update. Let's get over to Les Parker with this week's macro view of the markets and his TM Spotlight perspective. By the way, if you're not getting his newsletter, we'll talk about that in just a minute. But Les, what you got for us today?
This time, this is Bull Spike song. Take Back Its Trend song. Prove They're All Right song.
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
The Fed keeps fighting inflation, and with the doves beating the drums loudly in unison, a painful recession looks increasingly likely. The leader of the doves stated that cutting rates early next year is unrealistic. Bond bulls expect the Fed to keep its word and continue raising rates and selling bonds. As a result, expect GDP to keep falling and inflation to fall below 3% in less than 1 year. Because Fed still got a lot of fight left to see. These views are my own. See the fight at TMSpotlight.com.
Yeah, good song, good music. Les Parker cracks me up, the songs he selects each week. They just seem to fit right in with the market. Sign up for the TM Spotlight newsletter. You can do so by going to tmspotlight.com. You can sign up for the paid version for free. And all you have to do is put in the word power when it comes to the code for signing up, and you will get the paid version for free. You should read it each and every day. I do, And okay, so I lied. So I look at it every single day. I don't read it all the way through every day, but man, I need to, because there's so much good information in the way he puts it together. I've been doing that for over 30 years. Les has been actually nearly 40 years. Been at this industry for 48 years, and I've been reading his for 40 years. I've been reading Les's material. It's really, really good. So check it out. Sign up with the word power in there. Matt Graham is here with the who is the founder and CEO of MBS Live with this week's market update. Matt, good to have you here, Fred.
Hey, good to be here, Dave.
Good to have you here, Eeyore. I mean, Matt, it's we love teasing you about your voice, but it's good. What's going on with the markets today? Give an update. I've been so busy. I had to have my front windshield replaced this morning, so I raced out and had that done. I didn't get a chance to go through the markets and a lot of the emails and read up on what's happening. So I haven't had a chance to look. So what's happening?
They don't make those windshields like they used to. I've gone through like three or four of those in the past few years.
I know. And do you know how expensive those things are? Mine was $500.
Yeah, you got to get the low deductible windshield replacement rider for your insurance thing.
Dude, he said the average,
a couple bucks a month or something.
The average cost of a windshield replacement, not that this has anything to do with the markets other than it does have economic impact on their pockets, is the average cost is somewhere between $1,200 to $2,000 with as much as $3,500 for a Lincoln Navigator if you got all that gadgetry that's attached to the window. Crazy, 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 crazy. But what's going on in the market?
One would need to be involved heavily in financial markets to afford such things. So let's talk about financial markets.
Yes, that's great.
Rates moved a little bit lower at first last week and then higher by the end of the week. And it was a very interesting, paradoxical sort of thing that was going on. Les touched on a few of the components, including some of the things that Fed speakers said, and we'll get to that in a second. But here is the setup for last week, is that we were coming into it with a heavy duration-focused issuance week. All that mumbo jumbo to say that there were treasury auctions on deck, and of the two different treasury auction cycles, this was the one that included the 10-year and the 30-year. So that is the higher duration of the two cycles. Duration, something that traders care about when it comes to taking down bonds that they're forced to bid on. Primary dealers are forced to bid on treasury auctions. So it can create a little bit of an auction concession where the market sort of avoids buying treasuries earlier in the week or even purposefully pushes prices lower in the hours leading up to an auction to make the bidding process easier. So that was headwind number one. Headwind number two was the technical landscape, and it's not necessarily, you know, something that's going to predict the future, but all other things being equal, bonds had been doing more buying than selling for more than a month. Really ever since the middle of June, and had hit the lowest levels in several months as of the beginning of August. At that time, it sort of looked like we might be a little bit overbought and we could see some momentum heading back in the other direction purely for technical reasons. But heading into the week, we were really focused on the consumer price index, CPI, the biggest inflation report that we get each month. Not necessarily the report that the Fed says it cares most about, because the Fed will usually say that's PCE, but CPI comes out before PCE, so it has more of an opportunity to move the bond market. So coming into CPI, things were pretty quiet, pretty sideways, not much had happened on the week up until that point. And then CPI came out in a way that a lot of people were hoping to see it come out, much lower than expected. 0.3 versus 0.5 at the core level month over month, and 0.0 at the headline level versus a forecast of 0.2. That means there was no inflation in July as far as CPI measured when it includes food and energy prices. That has a lot to do with a drop in fuel prices, but even removing that, only rising at 0.3% is a big victory after last month's 0.7%. Month over month. Not really looking at the annual totals just yet, because those are going to be distorted by extremely high months in over the past 12 that are included in that calculation. But Jack's right. We're well on our way to sub 3% inflation in 2023 if this pace continues. as one would expect with inflation being such a big bad thing for rates in 2022, the lower than expected reading had an immediate positive effect on rates. But then paradoxically, miraculously, strangely, things bounced back in the other direction and ended the day almost right where they began without much of an improvement. So that really got some fingers scratching some heads, and it didn't last very long because there was even more cause for consternation on Thursday when the producer price index did something similar, coming in at negative 0.5 month over month versus a positive 1% in the previous month. So a big swing in producer prices, also largely fuel driven. But here we have two back-to-back reports showing really good things for inflation, and consequently that should be really good for rates. PPI, producer price index, not only was there no reaction in the positive direction to that, but bonds just kept on selling and moving higher, and at times rapidly on Thursday. So that was the type of a market movement where bond analysts say we're going to have to find a narrative to fit the movement, because all the narratives we had ready to go don't really do anything to account for what we're seeing. Yeah, we can talk about the technical landscape, and we can talk about that duration-heavy issuance thing, but we need another way to look at this, and Fed speakers really helped to provide that. Several of them were out last week saying, hey, this is great, but one inflation report or 1 month of inflation reports that show a shift don't do anything to change our course, especially in the short term. This doesn't have a material impact on September's rate hike outlook, and we are very far from even being close to done fighting inflation. So it was, you know, I don't know if you'd call it a sobering reminder, but at the very least, it sort of regrounded the conversation surrounding the implications of the lower inflation. And then, you know, from my point of view, I think that with last week's jobs report and ISM data, you have a positive shift in some of the economic data that is getting people thinking that, you know, if inflation is falling and the labor market's strong and some of the other economic data is showing a rebound, the more inflation falls, the better that would be for the economy. So maybe the economy does indeed engineer some sort of soft landing or a very mild recession that then gives way to a period of sustained growth. And that is an environment that is not conducive to rates falling. Any way you slice it, Fed rate hike expectations did indeed stay very steady over the short term. And then when you look out to, say, June 2023, over the first 2 weeks of August, those rate hike expectations moved back up to recent highs. Not quite as high as they were in mid-June, but now they are in line with the levels from the end of 2022. In other words, traders had been seeing the Fed cut rates at some point in 2023. By mid-2023, they no longer see that after the past 2 weeks. And that's just the development of the past 2 weeks. So, rates moved up by the end of the week, rather paradoxically. In the bigger picture, not doing too bad. Still in the middle of what we were talking about being the sideways range in May and June. And I think that sideways range is a pretty safe bet in the bigger picture until and unless data pushes us out of it in a compelling way. But last week's lesson was it's going to take more than just inflation data. It's going to take economic data to cast a big vote on what we do with that range.
Yeah, that is generally, what's your feel? What are you seeing out there? Is the general feel is this still on a downward trend for the rest of the year? Generally, is that your hunch at this point? I know you don't go into predicting. I respect that so much about you. But generally, is that the feel out there?
I think that it would be very easy for me to have said that, and I probably did, in the end of June, second half of June, especially early July. That felt like a safer bet. I do think that it is data dependent. I don't know what's going to happen with economic data right now. Obviously, NFP was great last week and ISM data was great last week. Are they outliers? If they're outliers and those were just sort of dead cat bounces for econ data, then rates are going to keep going down. If they were a sign that the economy was just waiting to sort of catch its breath to inflation and rising rates, then I don't think that rates necessarily continue to go down. But those are really big ifs. And the uncertainty associated with that is something that I think you kind of get a metaphor for in the housing market, where you have some areas of the country where prices had gone really high and then started to come down, and now buyers are chomping at the bit to get to get offers in just because prices have fallen a little bit. And not necessarily even fallen in terms of home price indices, but just fallen from listing prices.
Mm-hmm.
And you have other areas of the country where people are saying, oh, no, it's really slowed down here. And even though prices have fallen, it hasn't picked back up. So which version of reality are we going to get overall and on average? And that's, you know, the economic reality that's going to inform the direction for rates. I think the safest thing to say is that rates almost certainly peaked in mid-June, and we're not rushing back up to those levels.
We've tested those levels a couple times or come close to it, and we thought there could be. But, I mean, it's an encouraging generally direction is we're going to stay here maybe, bounce around in this range a little bit, and then hopefully we're going to see things continue to get down, go down further. So interesting data that's up on your website right now. I love your website. I love how it's organized. I say that every single time on this podcast, but I get so many comments on this. So now normally, Matt, we would be getting Jack in here, and he pontificates what's happening with rates. And Jack, this is way his personality, the way he comes in, is always so insightful. And Alice, you're always so kind to him. She says, I just love listening to the discussion. So Mark and David Kill, who are dialogued in, we're going to let you get some comment in. But Alice, any thoughts on Matt's assessments? We'll take a little pause and start to get some group discussion. Alice?
Yeah, I think, as Matt said, you know, it's difficult to tell. I still am trying to get the visual of a dead cat bouncing, so I'm still stuck there. But once I get past that, then I'm so curious where that came from. But
not a PETA-friendly podcast.
So MBA had a great chart that I think was related to one of the aspects that you're talking to from Redfin about the number of competing offers. So the percentage of competing offers has dropped. The percentage that there are nationally list prices are starting to come in lower than first offer prices are starting to come in lower than list prices. So there is data out there so that we're not just kind of going, hey, my friend had this happen, and you know, this market seems to be feeling this. So I would just recommend checking that chart and just kind of watching those stats, because that's the biggest indicator what starts happening with the offer prices.
Yep, really good point. Let's get over to Mark Helm, and then I'm going to go to my very bashful friend, David Kittle. I'm joking. But Mark, your thoughts on the market? That's what you're hearing here. Mark Helm, your mic is on our side. There you go. I hear you.
Yeah, heard you, David. Okay.
Thoughts on the market? Yes. Any commentary you have on that?
I'm going to give you a little commentary. I'm living it personally myself. We're trying to sell a home in Houston, Texas, and we missed the time by about a month when people were making outrageous offers over list price to sell homes. And our subdivision right now, which is 850 houses or so, there's about 22 houses on the market. There has not been one offer made on any of those houses in a month. So that kind of tells you what's happening. With the rates have really pushed a lot of people that would normally qualify for loans out of contention, and the amount of value in the house and the sales price and the rates combined together is really making it difficult for people at home ownership. Now, we're in an upscale neighborhood, so there are still some property values, but my friends are telling me it's happening all over. I got a friend that works for one of the major home builders, and their sweet spot is homes that are valued at $220,000 to $240,000, and they're usually three-bedroom, two-bath houses.
Yeah.
And our housing's so cheap in Houston, and they're also experiencing the same decline of people because the rates, again, are knocking the people out that normally qualify for those loans.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's going on all over the market. And my brother was talking to me about his home that they sold it just before this fell off. And they had a $250,000 over the asking price offer that they accepted. It's crazy. $250,000 over the asking price. It's up in Bellevue, Washington, up in your neck of the woods, Matt. Let's get Kittle in here. Mm-hmm. Mr. Kittle, any thoughts on any of this, the markets? So glad to have you joining us, both of you, Mark.
Yeah, well, thanks, David. It's great to be on here. I think that I would add just a little bit different perspective to it. Certainly, you know, rates drive home purchases. I could give the same commentary almost verbatim that Mark just did. There are six houses for sale within three streets of me here in my neighborhood, and I don't know whether they have offers on them or not, or they're negotiating, but they've been on the market now for over 5 weeks, and generally earlier in the year, they've been gone 3 or 4 days. So it's slowed here. You know, I'm in Louisville in Kentucky. I think volumes up or down certainly have everything to do with where you are geographically. I go back to all the commentary we had just a minute ago on inflation. And I still think that whether rates, even if they go down a little bit, people are still feeling it every place else, whether or not we had zero inflation last month or not. I mean, car sales are down because people are feeling it other places. You know, it costs more for gas, even though gas is down here substantially. I mean, you can get gas here in Louisville for $3.35 a gallon. That's cheap compared to what you get, but it's still up over $1.50 where it was 2 years ago. So even though it's come down, it's still up.
And it's still up.
I'll throw one more thing in there, if I may.
Yes.
And I think, you know, as cyclical as our business is, we got to remember what just happened and what is happening this week across the country. And this, there's no real way to prove this, but what, kids are going back to school, right?
Yeah.
So people aren't looking for houses right now. Every year around the 1st of August, mid-August, it slows down, and we tend to forget that sometimes. So it'll pick back up, I think, a little bit before we get into Thanksgiving and the holidays, and then it'll slow back down again.
That's a great point. Yeah, hard to believe. I grew up in Minnesota and lived up in Washington State for years, and it's Labor Day. We don't go back to school until after Labor Day. That was the big signal. Now here in Texas, everyone's going back to school. A lot of schools are going back at it. So, Mr. Kittle, thank you so much. Mark Helm, thank you being here. Jack Nunnery, we miss you if you're listening to this. I doubt you're listening to this in the dental chair. You may listen to this after the fact, but we do miss you, Jack, and I wish you a quick recovery from all that too you're going through. You sounded pretty good on Friday when we were talking to you. But anyway, that wraps it up. But anyway, if you have not signed up for Matt Graham's MBSLive.net service, you need to do so. And when you do so, you should use the LOL code and the sign up as the sign up code, and it'll give you an extended period of time, extended trial, or with no need to input a credit card. But you should put it in a credit card, and you should just sign up. Everyone loves this service. It has them out there. One of the funniest things, Matt, I think I told you this the other day when we were talking. David Kittle and I are on a podcast. He said, oh, let me show you the market. And he held up his cell phone behind him because I have this big screen behind me. And he goes, that looks so cool. So I'm going to compete with you, Lincoln. So he holds his cell phone up or an iPad up behind him. He was talking, going, I too have MBS Live behind me. It was so funny. But it's a good service, Matt. Kudos to you. Thank you for being here each and every week. We blame you when the markets, when the rates don't go right. We give you all the credit when the markets improve, and you have nothing to do with it because all you do is report the facts, nothing but the facts. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate you so much.
Thanks,
Dialing in all the way up there in Portland, Oregon. That's like in another world. I can get to Mexico. I can get to down to any one of these beautiful beaches here in half the time it takes to get up to the Pacific Northwest. But we're glad you're dialing in. Mr. Kittle is here. He is joining us and providing us now an insights onto what's going on in the production. And we got into it a little bit, Mr. Kittle, but David Kittle is going to be joining us as one of the regulars. We're going to be talking about the topic of loan originations. Now, David has owned mortgage companies and has been involved, one of the co-founders of so many things. He was a past president or chairman of the MBA. So unique insights. And certainly he can comment on virtually anything and everything we're talking about. We've asked him to come on each week and talk and focus more on loan origination. So, Mr. Kittle, welcome to the podcast as a regular. So glad to have you here, friend. About time.
Thanks, David. Glad to be here.
I don't know why we didn't think of it sooner. But anyway, tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing each and every week. Give our listeners a little bit of a flavor of the things you're going to be focusing on. And while you can focus on everything, but you're going to be focusing on this. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, since we've gone, and certainly no no secret to anybody, we've gone way away from a refinance market to a purchase market, and inventories are low, costs are high, so it's really difficult for loan originators out there to bring in deals, and you've got to be able to pivot these days. So I think you and I and the group, we were talking on Friday, and I brought something up, so I just want to kind of mention it today and say, you know, if as a lender out there, not just fixed rate and everything else, I think you should look at doing something out there called the DSCR loan.
Yeah, say that again real slow, because that is that I had not heard about this. And then Jack, when we were on the call, Jack and Mark and David and I worked together inside of TMS to do some consulting, and this came up on our Friday all company call. And it was really said, say that again. The initials are
Delta Sierra Charlie Romeo, DSCR, and it stands for Debt Service Coverage Ratio.
Yeah.
And it's a key measure of a company's ability to repay its loans. You know, you can, and it's based on the income on the rental property, not based on your income. Approvals are a lot easier, and I think people ought to look into that as a way to pivot, add some volume to your pipeline. The margins are a little higher on them, and it can certainly help help you make a buck going to, through the rest of this year. But
yeah,
I think everybody should look
at it. You can make a really good income. These are very profitable loans. When this came up, Jack, when he goes, I've heard something about this. So he went in there and did some research on it, and he goes, oh, my gosh, this could make so much money for so many companies and just give them just another tool in their toolkit. And I thought that was really, really good that you could bring this out. Of course, Mark is the reverse mortgage expert. His last mortgage company was that. Certainly reverse mortgages are. But a lot of people struggle with that a little bit. But this one is a bit unique. Now, it turns out, if I understand correctly, it is a non-QM type loan. Is that correct, David?
It is. Exactly right.
Okay. So there is a non-QM aspect about it, but there is so much that you could do with this product, and it just adds another product to your product mix. So it's very, very curious. That's excellent, David. Very, very good. So also, we're going to have you and Howard and Stephen on in a separate podcast in a Hot Topic interview. We're going to be recording that, I believe, this week, and we're going to be talking about what you guys are coming together to do. If you could just mention that briefly, give a teaser for that upcoming Hot Topic podcast that we're going to be releasing.
Well, sure. It's Stephen Chapman and Howard Nathan and myself. Sure. This came out a talk that I gave in February, and I think there's a need for it. We call it operational health, and it's a way to talk to companies and come in and to counsel them on how to downsize and do it the correct way and actually grow your business while you downsize. So it's
right
something
back,
we're
right
really excited about. We're getting great feedback on it and getting a lot of calls on it. So.
Yep. We prefer the word right size. We're right helping people right size their company. And David is leading this charge, and I'm really excited about it. We're going to be talking about that in the Hot Topic segment. So, David, welcome to the podcast. Very excited to have
you
here. And it also, not only your segment, but your commentary on each one of these segments as we go through it. So good to have you here, and I'm excited. Alan just texted me, said it. Alan Pollock's dialed in. He just got off an airplane, so we'll be hearing him walk through the airports, but he'll be bringing the tech update in just a little bit. But let's get over to Alice Alvey. Alice is CMB Vice President of Education Training at Union Home Mortgage, and she's got the legislative update. Alice, how are you doing?
I am well, David. Well, if we can have David Kittle stay on for a second.
Yes.
know, I'm familiar with the debt service coverage ratio loans and the non-QM aspect of them, and they can be a benefit. I just have a quick question. Are there multiple lenders offering this product now, David? You know, the non-QM space, kind of people dip their toe in the water, and then have a tendency to sometimes jump out, and a lot of lenders like, you know, to have multiple places to be able to deliver those loans with consistent guidelines. So are you finding some consistency developing in the market on this product?
Beginning to, Alice, but to your point, you're exactly right. And as this grows and as more people need to pivot and diversify in their origination products offering, you're going to see more investors come into the market. You know, it's not going to be a high volume for you, but if you're doing non-QM and you add the DSCR loan to it along with your normal builder and realtor loans, it can certainly help sustain you into next year.
that's great. And then I heard Howard Nathan's mentioned. If that's the Howard Nathan I know, that is a great matchup for that operational health.
Yeah. Well, there's only one Howard Nathan that I know.
There's only
it,
so. Yeah, he's a bit of a legend. He is. We're really pleased to have Howard join our consulting firm and have as long as David. And then and you meet Stephen Chapman. We've had him already on as a guest on here one time, and he brings a lot. So we're really looking forward to releasing that podcast. But, Alex, let's get into the legislative update. You would be so kind.
Yes, I've got a quick update here. USDA has issued a proposal to take themselves out of the loop on the USDA product, which we
really
love that idea. Less government always makes things a better place. So they have put themselves out there in a proposed rule. So it's actually going straight to proposed rule, which I like, because if they do a request for comment, that can start to drag things out, although this has been dragged out a little bit. So USDA has put out a single-family housing guarantee loan program changes that came out August 4th. The comments are due by October 1st. Now, they were given the authority to have that lenders make the loan decisions, and lenders basically put the guarantee on the loan, just like you would with an FHA. So picture USDA wants to make the move to be just like FHA, for delegated authority for the entire business process and give that over to the lenders through a bit of a qualification process in the first place. They've had the authority to do this since 2016. So, hey, you know, they're going as fast as they can. Here we are in 2022 getting it in proposed rule format, and hopefully we see that the comments come in very favorable. So I'm encouraging all our listeners, have your lender hurry up and comment that this is all good. There are no hidden problems within this. At first, I wasn't sure about USDA having the right amount of technology to pull this off, because it's different doing something than it is being the administrator of something. But, you know, they make a statement in here that they feel the agency expects to use their existing process and technology systems, you know, with some substantial modifications to implement this. So, you know, they'll need to make sure that they take the time to get that right. But other than that, from a process and commenting standpoint, it would be easy enough for you to jump in and say, this is a great proposal. We want USDA to have its own, have the ability to issue lender approvals and to go with the proposal as they present it. Because they're proposing to audit about 2% of the loans post-closing, which is very reasonable. There really wasn't anything in there that we could object to. So simply saying, follow the way FHA does it, and we will be happy to take this off your plate and be able to issue our own USDA approvals. A lot of times for these types of commentaries, we're waiting to hear from the MBA because these get very convoluted sometimes, and you want to be careful with your answer. But this is an easy one. So I would encourage everyone, David, I can send you the link. We can put it up with the show notes.
Yeah.
On how to get into the Federal Register to post your comments, and you can do that by October 3rd. So that was my big announcement. I would love to see everyone participate in that. One other quick note, I heard Les Parker say it, and I wrote it down, inflation below 3% in less than a year. So I have another Les Parker tidbit that we will be tracking and checking in on next year. So. That's my report today, Dave. Back to you.
Very, very good. Thank you. Les Parker is – I love you, Alice, how you hold him accountable. You go, he said it. And, you know, he said maybe the accurate. Just this, you know, he usually doesn't
He's
go
accurate.
Out of
– yeah.
He is. That's really – so that's encouraging. I'm going to take that as almost gospel. We're going to depend on that, hopefully, to see that happen. But, Alice, Albie, thank you so much for being here. Mark and David, any commentary that you have on Alice's? Any thoughts on what you heard Alice talk about?
Nothing really from me. I love it, especially the fact that you're going to hold Les accountable.
I love it, too.
Yeah, we always love that. She does that well. Parker's listening to this. He always listens, and he gets a big smile. He says, you can hold me accountable. Just go ahead. Just hide and watch. It is. You can go to the bank on this. But anyway, so good.
Because it helps validate. You know, I mean, when people say something, and then you can say, hey, you know what? Les said this, you know, whatever, 6-8 months ago or whatever the time frame was, Andy was right. You know, it helps. So that's my goal, is to prove Les is right.
Prove Les is right. That's the right attitude. Yes, we love Les Parker, and he does. He's right more times than way more times than wrong. That's why I love his newsletter. Sign up for it. Alice, thank you so much for being here. And we've got Alan Pollock walked off an airplane. I was texting him. He sent over his notes, and I could have read them. But I decided, no. We're going to wait, and I'm going to ask Alan, tell him to land that plane and get on the podcast here with us. So, Alan, welcome. Alice has done it from a fishing boat, has done it from the airport as well. So I hear the bad noise in the background. Good to have you here with the tech update. What you got?
Yeah, likewise. Good to be here. So, and we've done this before.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, what's more exciting is proving Les Parker right. So I didn't realize Les needed that much help. So if you're listening, Les Parker, you can reach out to me at any of the hours between 9 and 7 p.m. Eastern, and I'm more than happy to consult with you and help you out to always be right. So let's talk
his
about
wife would disagree
with
his wife would take exception to that. I don't think Linda totally thinks he's always right. But anyway,
well, you know, when I'm with clients or, you know, just in general, anywhere, and someone that doesn't know you that well, they say, you know, you're great. And I ask, could you write that down so I can give that to my wife?
Yes.
It's always my comeback.
Yep.
So let's talk about tech fails, David. We've all had them.
Yep.
That's right. Tech fails. We've all had them. It happens. Sometimes they make us wonder, what was the product team thinking? How did they get that out? So here it is. You ready? I was driving, and my phone vibrated in my pocket to provide me with this message. You will not receive notifications while you're driving. So clearly, there was an issue with the timing of how they deliver that message.
You got it while you were driving.
So, yep. Yeah, and you know, David, that goes along with the user interface experience item I brought up probably 2 years ago when COVID started. There was this hand sanitizing machine that had this beautiful person on the front, and their finger was pointing down to tell you, you know, this is where you're going to sanitize your hands. And people were putting their hands under where her finger was compared to where the nozzle was, where the sanitizer was coming out. And so it was dripping all over the machine.
Hilarious. That's hilarious.
Yeah, user experience.
User experience.
Let's talk about the first thing. Let's talk about saving time and money. And I didn't realize David was going to be on today. One of my topics today is something near and dear to David's heart. I know he's cared much about it, which is vendor management. We'll talk about that in a moment. But big news, right? Save time and money. You may not know this, but Google just released their free website designer and associated tools. It's called Google Web Designer. Yes, and here's why this is such a big deal. Number one, it's free. There's all kinds of features like ad creation, simple code development, and it's designed to make your job easier, especially if you have a marketing department or you don't have a marketing department. This is a way for you to verify and test out different ways that you may want to market out there, right? Before you spend the money to make something grandiose and official, right, groundbreaking, all those fancy terms we use in our industry, check this out, Google Web Designer. I don't know how easy or hard it is. I did Google it to see what kind of the reviews were, but I was Googling something on Google for Google. So clearly I was going to only get good reviews. So check it out.
Clearly, yeah. A little bias on the reviews, I'm sure, yeah.
Right. So let's talk about the second item today, David. This one, I'm going to say hold on to your seats. At least for financial institutions that can't afford to be in mortgage origination but can't afford not to be in it, right? And we've said that so many times. Rocket is official now to offer financial institutions what they're calling mortgage as a service, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a new partnership between Rocket Mortgage and Q2, provides banks and credit unions a digital home loan application experience with live mortgage assistance. It'll reside on the financial institution's mobile and online platform, meaning that it can be branded and labeled for the financial institution. Okay, so it's you don't have to acquire technology as that FI. But even better, it will provide clients, so customers and members of the credit union, with digital access to Rocket Mortgage. It's integrated into their Q2 digital banking platform. And you get it ready for this, David? Rocket Mortgage will take care of everything related to the loan and servicing at no cost to the financial institution, no implementation fees, and no subscription fees.
Wow.
So if you can't afford to be in mortgage and you can't afford not to be in mortgage and you want to retain and continue to service your members, take a look at Rocket. And I'm sure there's many other lenders out there that will do the same thing, but they're the ones that put the press release out, and that's the one I read. So check it out. Now, David, let's talk about lender due diligence. Lender due diligence. And, David, I probably piqued your interest. I got to be honest, right? You can't skip this, and many overlook it. And, you know, a lot of times people will put somebody untrained in that position. They'll take somebody that maybe has been at that institution or you as a lender for a long, long time, and they've kind of acquired this skill, but they have no official training. So what's really tricky is attempting to bypass what we call vendor due diligence or vendor management, right, for a faster implementation can hurt you in the long run. And with so much borrowers, non-public, personal information, with fraud on the rise, you as a lender, you can't afford to cut corners with the security of that information. And we're not even going to talk today what it actually costs if there is a data breach or even if you suppose there's a data breach, right, and what the insurance cost is and how all that changes. But thinking about compliance, cybersecurity, cloud risk, transaction risk, operational risk, and even business continuity, right? What if a vendor goes down, if they have a data breach and they have to shut their systems down, how do you retain business and how do you close on those deals? So ultimately, we have to do that work now. There's consultants, there's vendors, there's products, and then there's as much as doing the correct due diligence. Next week, we're going to focus on the cost of vendor management, some of the things that you do in vendor management, and some of the things you want to look for. Keep in mind, I am not a vendor management expert, but I've been through the ringer many, many times. So I bring that up. And actually, David probably will have a little bit of feedback on this. And then in closing, David Lickett, I am hiring. I am hiring data analysis and data management. I'm hiring people with secondary and mortgage pricing experience, QA folks, product folks. I mention this because we are at a time right now when a lot of people have found themselves maybe a little bit unfortunate or ready for a change. There is opportunity out there. So you definitely can reach out to me, and I can even be a matchmaker. So don't forget to connect with me, Alan at TMS-advisors.com.
Good job. Excellent. Good job. Good job. And you can, again, I already mentioned the email address, Alan at TMS-advisors.com. And on any of this, I've got some other ones. Someone else was just wanting to talk to you. Alan, so I think you should start getting some more emails on this. A lot of interest in your segment.
Right.
A lot of interest in the whole podcast, all the segments. So I don't want to single out any one of them. So that's good. Excellent. Mark Helm is here with us. Now, he knows a little bit about vendor management, did this when he is in several shops. He owned his last mortgage company and did real well selling that. But, Mark, it's so good to have you join the podcast as a regular. And you're going to be talking on focusing on the servicing aspects. But seeing as you have the experience that you do in vendor management, do you want to add to that? And then I'll get Mr. Kittle in on it if you want.
Yeah, thank you, David. Alan, you're spot on the vendor management. I'm going to do a segment on servicing vendor management because it is woefully inadequate in most servicing shops. The big problem with vendor management servicing tends to be that it's done at a corporate level, and they don't transition the knowledge of the things that need to be checked from the servicing personnel into the vendor management program. So you got people developing what they think is a good vendor management program without access and input from the people that do it every day. And I spend a lot of time on that with people adjusting their vendor management programs to be more beneficial to them long-term, but making sure they include the critical aspects of how a vendor should perform whatever functions it may be for the servicing or operations group.
Very interesting. Yeah, I think that's a great point. Servicing is another dimension of this, and it's oftentimes overlooked. Can't wait to get your full report on all of that. Alan?
And Mark, I just want to say it's great to have you on the podcast and get some more opinion because this is the best part about what we do. And, you know, from being on the vendor side, I definitely can tell our audience what it's like to be a vendor and what we have to look out for in helping the lender. So we'll have some good conversation in the coming weeks for our listeners.
Good job.
I think so too, Alan. Thank you.
You bet. Alan, good to have you on. Here, we will turn you into the commentary guy in just a minute. Let's get over to Mark Helm. Mark, I'm so excited about you joining us. And if you could share with our audience a little bit about some of the things you're going to be talking about in each and every week on your segment.
Sure can, David. Thank you so much for having me. I am really excited about being on this podcast, but I want to clarify something up front that I think is very important. Some of us in the industry get called experts. I'm not sure in this day and time anybody's an expert in the industry. We are usually people that have the ability to impart our knowledge we've gained over decades and decades in the business, and that's what I like doing. I like giving back. The industry has been very good for me for the past 45 years, and if I can help somebody succeed or help someone improve operations or help somebody make a difference in their life and the way they approach their job and how they relate to employees and grow a business, that's what the positive aspects for me. I've had a very successful career. I love every minute of it, but now it's time to give back and watch other people be fruitful from things I can share and things everybody on this podcast are sharing. I think that's what makes this podcast so exciting to me. This is a knowledge bank of people that can share in-depth knowledge on about any topic that relates to mortgage banking, and how many times you have that opportunity where you get a group of people like this that can do that. It's a special relationship, and I'm just so proud to be a part of it. I wanted to give you kind of a highlight of what I plan on.
I just want to say real quickly how much we enjoy having you here. But I also wondered, I think you do a lot of coaching to a lot of our clients and to some of our clients, and that group is starting to grow. And it is so many people. I was just talking to one particular person, one of the senior executives of one of the executives you coach out in California, you know, who I was speaking of. And this individual said, you cannot believe the impact Mark is having on our CEO. I mean, our CEO says, well, you know, he's good. He is really good. He's one of the successful ones. But just like Tiger Woods needs a coach, someone needs to talk to the leaders and the top people in the industry. And Mark, you're having such a positive impact. So not only is it about the servicing, but and all the years of giving back, but you do provide an outstanding coaching service to many executives. I want to make sure it's recorded and out there for people to hear about. So, all right, now go ahead. Tell us about what you're going to be covering each and every week.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it. I certainly enjoy coaching as much as anything because you can see some individual success there that you normally don't see when you're dealing with a company overall. So I love that. I'm hoping to break down each week and have a different topic for servicing. I want to spend some time kind of educating the audience on MSRs, mortgage servicing rights, so they can help decide in their company as they grow bigger and want to get their agency approvals and be in servicing, is it the right thing for them to do? I'm going to tie in many things about what creates valuable servicing, what kind of servicing assets you want to create. And yes, you do control what kind of assets you create and put in pools or deliver to investors. And most importantly, look at the ancillary benefits that are there from ancillary incomes, and also to look at the banking relationships that help you and what it does for your balance sheet as to your value and how you have to hedge it to make sure it's on target. But one of the main things I want to do is share with you as many, and I hate to use this in quote, trick of the trade type thing, but tricks of the trade are very important for us to keep you on target and keep you producing at an optimal level. And with that, I'll handle the basic areas in servicing one at a time, like investor accounting, customer service, default, a lot of emphasis on default and loss mitigation, and the insightful piece that's unseen most of the time is REO management, which can be a very costly part of the proposition, and then focus on vendor management and compliance for servicing and quality control for servicing. I found that with my consulting work in the industry, I found the compliance and quality control plans for servicing to be woefully underprepared to take your company to the next level most of the time. So we have developed and our team has actually constructed quality control and compliance plans that are 95% complete, and they cover all the bases for all the regulatory environments and all the requirements, and then you just customize it with certain things you do for certain products like reverse mortgages or for certain investors you have like veterans land board loans or whatever. I'm just using examples of things you can do. But as we have these discussions about the different aspects of servicing, I'm going to be really interested in hearing from you and the audience what you would like to hear more about on servicing, because I can talk about lots of things, but if I don't talk about the things that are impactful for you and are meaningful for you to create a better business environment that you're in, I'm not succeeding what I'm doing. So I really do appreciate your input, and my I can be reached fairly easily, and David will make sure that my information is out there. I know it's on his website now, but out there so people can reach me by email or telephone if you have any questions. But I'm really excited about being on the podcast and look forward to the weekly topics, and hopefully you'll help me guide you to the things that you'd like to hear about and hear more about so you understand your operations better and understand what you want to be when you grow up, so to speak. So let me help you. And the only way I can do that is you tell me what you need and what you'd like to hear about. David, thank you for allowing me this opportunity to give them an overview, and I look forward to the weekly broadcast.
Well, I'm excited about it, as well as those that are wanting to go get Fannie, Freddie, and Jenny Mae approved. We turned that all over to Mark since he joined us in the consulting business on the Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Does a phenomenal job at doing this. And it's game. That game has changed dramatically. I'm really looking for your updates each and every week, Mark, on that. Mr. Kittle and Alan, any commentary that your questions you have for Mark? I know, David, you know him so well. We work together, but thoughts to start with you, David. Any thoughts on what Mark said?
No, just glad to have Mark on here with me, and I've certainly known Mark a long time. There is no better expert in the servicing area than Mark Helm, and he's part of our group when we go in and talk about right-sizing and how you correct things. That Mark is available to come in with Howard and Stephen and our group as well, so we certainly have that asset available to us and happy to have it.
That's outstanding.
Thank you, David.
Good job. Yes, Alan. Alan, are you there still? Or you had to move to your rental car? Oh, that wasn't you. Okay. Okay. Alan's texting me as he's going his way. Alan, do you have any comments, or should we wrap this up? He's on an AirTran. Okay, too loud. Sorry. That's funny. Excellent job, Alan. Thank you so much. Well, folks, that's going to wrap up the podcast. We wish you well, Jack, and a quick recovery out of the dental chair. I'm sure you're going to be doing much better now that they got that tooth fixed, but I miss him on the podcast. But, folks, I just want to say a big thank you to all of you for being here and listening to us each week and then sharing this out with your peers and your those in the industry and those within your company, because that's how we've grown. We are approaching 1 million downloads of this podcast, and it's a miracle. That's amazing considering the fact that we serve in a very vertical, narrow market of mortgage lending. Now, it seems like a big industry to us, but in the big scheme of things, it's a very narrow market. And for us to have that many approaching that many downloads is nothing less than a miracle. And we're grateful because we care about you. And it's like what Mark said, we're giving back. David says the same thing. We're all here. Virtually all of us are here. We've owned mortgage companies. We've owned technology companies. And we're here and we exist for one primary purpose, and that's to give back of our knowledge. And that's why this podcast is, I believe, being as successful as it has been and being as well received. I want to say again, thank you to our sponsors, Finastra Fusion Mortgage Bot Solution, Form Free Lender Toolkit, Snap Docs, Total Expert, Simple Nexus, the MBA, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Success Kit, Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, Modex, Mortgage Advisory Tools, and DW Consulting. Folks, we appreciate you. Have a great week, and we look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.